Hey, 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 it's me, Katie here. Grab a notebook and a cuppa and join me in the Sociology Staff Room. Hello and welcome to the Sociology Staff Room. We've got a great guest with us today, which is Nicole Levy. Thank you for coming on today.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk about remote teaching. I know little or nothing about it apart from, like most, trigger warnings around sort of COVID and remote teaching. And a lot of us were launched into that world without little or no preparation and the students themselves. So it'd be really interesting to hear how that works for you. And I know that some of our audience members will be in that space as well or are looking to thinking about going into that space. So first of all, Nicole, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, hi, thanks for having me. So I started teaching in 2017, trained in sociology, but kind of like every other sociology teacher, I've taught about 1,000 subjects. And I'm kind of now firmly settled into teaching sociology, economics and business studies. I taught in London until 2022. Teaching sociology, head in a department there. And then I decided to take some time out to do my master's dissertation. And now I'm teaching kind of across a few remote schools, teaching sociology and other subjects in the social science. So,
yeah. And I want to know more about this. I literally know nothing about this space other than COVID, which lots of teachers were very ill prepared for lots of different reasons, just because we hadn't never done it. So some of myself, my reason I was ill prepared for it was like, how do you do that? Like, how do you even log on and do that, let alone the dynamic element to that? So what brought you, first of all, to remote teaching? Like, what made you, were you in the classroom beforehand? And then you
switched? I was in the classroom. So I had all the same things with COVID and being kind of thrown into that space as well. It wasn't ever an intentional kind of segue. I was living in Birmingham and I was thinking about going to teach internationally. So I was applying for international schools and nothing kind of pulled through and worked out. And I was like, what am I going to do for work? So I was doing a lot of online tutoring. And then I essentially was working. One of my main things that I do is basically working with young sportsmen, sports people, and the Premier League set up a virtual school. And just kind of through living in Birmingham, I got a job supporting students at West Brom. And it kind of just all came about.
This sounds so glamorous.
It was never intentional.
Sell this to our audience, because I think this is a slightly separate conversation, but it may fit into this conversation. And I know I've just put this question on you. There is a lot of teachers that are thinking of leaving teaching. You know, that's the reality. And we've talked about teacher wellbeing, we've talked about recruitment, retention, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, I just want to leave teaching. I think that's what it is. And then there's people sort of saying in response to the Facebook page, it isn't necessarily teaching or education, it's maybe the school or the environment. And so actually, this might be, for some, still living the sociology life and still wanting to share the importance of sociology and have a love for sociology and sociology education, but may need just a different space in which education is presented. And this sounds so different. I mean, I thought we made contact, I was thinking online tutoring. That's what I was thinking. I didn't even think of long line schools, and I didn't even think of like celebrities.
Yeah.
And potentially the freedom that gives you. So tell me more about that, if you don't mind.
It's the best. It's teaching without all of the things that schools bring. So it's like, I think that when I was working in schools, it was like, I would just love to have the time to just focus on pedagogy. I love lesson planning. I hate all the other stuff that comes with being in schools. And I think just for me, it's like how being a teacher in a school is almost kind of an extension of school yourself, because you always have this like structured, like 6 weeks, then it's a holiday, 6 weeks, and your life is so planned out in a school. And I think the freedom is just, I've just been really lucky because it's enabled me to do something that I love. And I don't believe that teachers want to leave the profession because they hate being in the classroom. Mm. They hate all of the other stuff that comes with that. And I don't have to, yeah, I still have to write reports and do parents' evenings and things like that. But I think not to the extent that kind of just being in school can grind you down. So it's exciting. It's like, it's definitely, and there's so many of these things popping up. I kind of see just on the internet that this is a really new thing. And I think the more school, more children, more young people are now out of school because it doesn't suit them anymore. And I think COVID has really increased that, or kind of like sped that along. And I think there's just more students saying like, no, I don't want to be in a mainstream setting anymore because, I don't know, mental health issues, et cetera, et cetera. And this is going to come more and more kind of big.
Yeah, because it sort of links into that sort of thinking sociologically, thinking about globalization of education and the access to the internet and e-learning. And then obviously, like, it has an impact on, obviously, like you said, the mental health and the mental wellbeing of students and how this is a space that's developed. So that's really interesting. And I know just before you came on air, you sort of mentioned a typical sort of working year for you. And I said, stop talking, I want to find more about it, we'll save it for the podcast. But like, what is a typical day, year for you, for those people that may be tempted by this?
So I don't live in the UK anymore. And I am on my constant quest to escape the British winter. So I spend 9 months of my year in Brazil, because so many places now have these visas that you can just, if you have an online job, you can go. So I spend 9 months of my year in Brazil in a kind of small island city, Florianopolis. And then I come back to the UK for the summer. And that's kind of the plan for the next 3 years. And ultimately, all you need is a good internet connection. I do, the time difference is 3 hours for most of the year. And then there's a set, kind of a bit where it's 4 hours. So I am waking up at 4:30 sometimes, which is, that's a downside to that. But ultimately, it's, you work hard and you are on holiday on the weekends, like on your dream holiday. So
And also, I suppose I'm just making an assumption here, so like correct me if I'm wrong, but if you say the exams finish, obviously you've got year 12, but I suppose you're still teaching them, but you don't have to be physically in that space anymore. Like, I'm just thinking, like, when I'm obviously, say my year 13s go after the, I'm still physically in school, even they're not there, I can't go off site because I'm tied to school. So obviously in those periods you have no teaching, that's right? You don't have to be physically online.
But I also, like, I work for myself. So everything is, I don't actually work for these schools. I do things on a freelance basis. So I think just that is a really different thing as well in teaching, where, I don't know, like, a lot of being in school is like showing face. Do you know? And, that teacher's leaving early. And, you know, like, just all of that, like, judgment and like that. And it's like, ultimately, I think that the thing that's driven me out of a mainstream classroom is just like the lack of trust in teachers. Like, it's like, as long as I'm in the classroom in the timetable when I need to be, and why are we treated as teachers almost like students? Like, most people can, I've worked in schools before where they say, like, you're not allowed off-site, and it's like, really? Like, so I think having that freedom and having that, like, autonomy over your own working day is, like, really nice.
Yeah, so that agency within your practice. So what about the practicality? So how does that actually look? Like, obviously, even if you're not a remote teacher, there is, there are smart boards, et cetera, in lessons, and students have phones, et cetera, and all those sort of things. What sort of things are potentially transferable from remote teaching into mainstream classroom teaching? Or those people who are in the remote teaching space at the moment, or we are, like, teaching online as tutors, what sort of resources, how do you sort of develop your lessons? Because obviously, it's there's going to be that slight barrier there, I potentially, or maybe there isn't. Tell me a bit more about that.
I think like 80% of it is the exact same. Like you're using an iPad and an iPad pen instead of a whiteboard and a marker. Like it, and that's been the best investment I ever had. And I think that is, but yeah, most of it I use the exact, instead of paired work, they go in breakout rooms. And the stuff that I think we started to think about in when we were teaching online in COVID. But ultimately then the beauty of it is that I'm not trying to teach 24 students in a class. It's kind of five students, and that is way more it's easier to manage, isn't it? So but I think like also I think all of the things that you want to do as a teacher, support every student, create good cultures, really kind of personal differentiation, and that ultimately the way that we've structured schools makes it hard to do unless you kind of burn yourself out. It's much easier in a smaller setting. And I think that's mainly attributable to the fact that it's small groups rather than the fact that it's kind of online. I think the other barriers as well, the biggest barrier is like ultimately I get mainly 16-year-old boys who, and girls as well in other places I work, but like they have to be extremely mature to be able to also learn in this way. And I think that is about, I think it's the same in any, you had an AD or PGCA, and it's like culture is so important in September with new classes. And I think that's potentially even more important because it's like, it doesn't also work for all students. And I think that's quite an important kind of caveat at the beginning when kind of I get new students is like some students need an online in-person setting, whereas others kind of have to up their game and kind of mature. But I don't know, we always get early year 12 students, and the journey that they go on kind of immaturing in the first 6-8 months is usually a big one.
Yeah, so quite typical in some of the ways that sort of face-to-face teaching would be, in the sense that you're sort of getting those year 12s into the systems, into the practices of how it is teaching at A level. And like you said, the big differences I see generally would be the size of the classroom online, which allows you to have those professional relationships and that rapport building that goes on. How do you, I'm just trying, what are the biggest barriers then? Obviously you said about maturity. I'm thinking about my barriers when I did it, and a lot of them were to do with sort of being the big class sizes as such when we did it sort of during COVID, and obviously not everyone having the resources, which obviously was a big barrier. But obviously I'm assuming that they've got the resources because that's why they've chosen to do that. Like,
resources. I think like where I mainly work with kind of young footballers, like it is a school. Like it is a school in the sense that kind of I can go to their heads of education in the same way that you could go to the heads of years if there was trouble. Like there is a network of kind of support for these young boys. And I think, so it's not, it is kind of more, I guess, structured than just being like log on and see, I guess. I think the biggest barrier in terms of, and I think we had it in the same in COVID, is like note taken. Like I didn't know that they're taking notes. And I think that in the beginning, well, you see them, you they have their cameras on, and it's kind of, it's not like when we were doing COVID and half the students had their cameras off and it was just a constant battle of I turn the camera on. But I think I've done things like then overcome that by like random folder checks and things like that.
Yeah, how do you do things like that? Like, do they work online? Is that what they do? Like,
they've actually really surprised me because they've all continued to take handwritten notes. And I think that's kind of really good, because I think when you're just typing, you end up just writing down, you're not thinking, you're just thinking, you're just writing down everything that the person is saying. So they've been very good at taking handwritten notes. And I was really impressed by that. But then I was like, how do I know that they've taken the notes? So yeah, we just do random folder checks. Like,
give me an example, how might that look?
I'll just send them at the end of a lesson. I'll say, okay, I want your pictures from the last, I want pictures of your work from the last three lessons. And generally they're making good progress. They I think in comparison, when I think about like also like their average GCSE scores and like where those students would be in comparably and kind of a class size of 26, they're making good progress. But I do think that the biggest factor is that they are doing something that they enjoy, as in they're playing football and they're pursuing their dreams that way. And like, in order for them to be able to do that, the clubs have said that they need to try in their and I think that like, how I think that that's an interesting thing is they're not there because they've like fallen into it. They've like actively chosen to, most of them do BTEC sport. So they've actually decided to be the ones that's like, no, we want to do A levels as well. I guess like a bit of deferred gratification and kind of thinking actually about the future in terms of the reality of still being a footballer is so small that they need to be making sure that they've got backup plans.
So it's a little bit their sort of attitude towards learning isn't just, it is also playing into the makeup of. If people were just thinking about the technology again, if people want to skill themselves up, because obviously from what you said, like you sort of came in through it as after sort of COVID, I'm sort of guessing, how do you then skill yourself up in the technology? Like what have you done in order to be better as a remote teacher online? What things, if people are in that space now or thinking about it, how can you improve your skill with technology? Because I'm pretty much a technophobe. So what would be your sort of starting point?
I think there's so much stuff out there. So I think it's just not reinventing the wheel. And I think that there are so many amazing things popping up because, as I said, like this new education space, like it was always coming, but it really has been like massively accelerated. So like the Google Suite, what's it, Microsoft Teams, like even those educational programs have so many good things built into them. Like they have Quizlets built into them. Like that's been huge for me as a way of assessment, kind of to ensure that we have regular quizzes throughout lessons, because apart from like relying on questioning and like marking their work, I think, you can, I guess we saw these issues in when we were teaching bigger class sizes, it's like some students can be left behind. But I think it's kind of an amalgamation of different things. I think it's using what is already there. And I think, the Google Classroom suite is fantastic, as is Microsoft Teams. So
you don't even need the extra add-ons necessarily, because I'm sort of going back into that headspace. Yeah. I use Pear Deck a lot. Is that part of Google?
I don't know.
I remember using something a lot. I think it was Pear Deck, but I think it's part of the Google program. I think it was like the PowerPoint, and then you could work on the PowerPoint so directly, and you had slides. But it's not necessarily getting all those add-ons that exist necessarily. You know, you can start off with existing packages.
Exactly. Like it seems like it's like a never-ending field of like, and again, I'm in that exact same situation that I was, I think, 2 years ago, 3 years ago in school, of like, I wish I had more time to just stop and like explore more. So it's teaching. You still have the same kind of issues of where to put your energy in terms of, I'd love to make all my lessons better all the time, but
Yeah, so it doesn't sound that dissimilar, really, apart from, like you said, the sort of maybe the instant checking of the students, particularly like where you've been in the classroom, you can just walk over the students, check their work, but ultimately you can do that in a different way. I suppose it's looking at it in a more, looking at it outside the sort of traditional box as well. Is it easy to assess body language in the same way? Like, I know I'm talking to you now and I can sort of assess your body language. I mean, maybe again, when we had the big class sizes, when they had the cameras off, or we had 34 kids, tiny little, squares, it was really hard. But I suppose you've got, like you said, you've got six students. I suppose it's a lot easier to see if they're physically there, but mentally not in the lesson in the same way, is it? Yeah.
And you do this kind of behaviour techniques that you do in school. Do you know what I'm saying? Repeat what I just said. What do you want me to do? Like, it is those same things. Like, just, So I think it is they will, it really also depends on like the time of the day as well, like usually like lunchtime, around that time, evenings they're better, whereas like mornings they're more tired. So I feel like, and it's just natural, isn't it, to kind of be engaged in some lessons and not in others. So I think kind of just like being aware also of their moods a bit more. And ultimately, when it's in small class sizes, you can do that. I think it's just a more like reflective in the small group kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And then you've also got, I think, is it the word? Sorry, my phone. Oh, cool. Have they got, do you get like fatigue, like, in the same way, because you know, like there's that thing of like team's fatigue, or because it's different, it's like processing all that information in front of you.
I think the issue that I have in one setting particularly is that we don't follow the school calendar of like having half terms. We just have two long terms.
So we get lots of water. Bear with. Not our Duncan to edit this.
I will edit this bit. Yeah.
Sorry, I think I could actually glass of water rather than open it.
Can I be nosy and ask where your accent comes from?
Where my accent?
Yeah.
I grew up in Cambridge.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. I sound like an Essex, I think.
I could place it because it's not a strong regional accent, but there's just like
I was just trying to place
Nicole's accent, but I was miles out, so I was like,
where did you think?
I was thinking maybe more southwestish, sort of towards kind of Dorset, Somerset, but no, I was very wrong, so that's okay. it's a good job that's not my specialism.
Where are you from originally then?
Cambridge.
Okay, Cambridge. So not far from me.
Yeah,
where are you? Essex, so sort of south east. Sorry about that coughing fit. I've got getting my voice back.
I'm still obviously like, now.
Sorry about that. So pick up from where we finished off. Where was my last thing I said? Getting into a coughing fit. I think I said, I was asking about sort of like body language and
fatigue.
And then we talked to team's fatigue, online fatigue.
Yes, it was on that area.
So if I finish that online fatigue, and do you mind picking up from that point? Is that right? Sorry. And then Dunk will edit that bit out. My coughing fit. Sorry. Go for it.
So I think the one major difference, and this is just how I teach for one kind of specific setting, is that we don't really follow the normal school term. So there's not October half terms. And I think that it's really made me realize like the value beyond just being tired, the value in teaching of just having resets and be like, okay, week off, you come back, your expectations are kind of reset and everybody is ready to like learn again. And I think not having those pause points is where you get fatigue. And I kind of do see their kind of homework submission and engagement kind of going down towards, I think, in the way that we do in all kind of school settings. But yeah, I think that that's definitely an issue and a barrier. But yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Because unless you've got that fatigue, when you're online, you're literally in someone's, like, you're seeing their face. Whereas I suppose, like, in a classroom, you can sort of distract yourself by looking outside the window. And I suppose you can do that in this space as well. But
yeah,
I suppose face-to-face, you've got that element of being on a screen. And so there's a lot of, like, to absorb into that lesson. But then I suppose people become more relaxed eventually in that environment, so they become used to being on screen a bit more.
Yeah, I really think that that's the thing. And I think that in that environment, like, that they're generally in like a fairly comfortable setting as well. Like, they'll either be doing it from home or kind of the education centers at the clubs or the schools, the different schools I work in. So I think it's just they've just kind of normalized to it, to be honest.
Yeah, and so it's just a different way of learning, I suppose, in the same way that, like, we've moved from using, what's it called, blackboards and chalk, and then we've moved to smart boards, and now we're using online. I suppose it's just a different sort of form of education, and like a lot of the same things still apply, it's just adapted. But yeah, I've really interesting. I literally knew nothing about this space, and when you got in touch, I thought that this is really interesting, because I've noticed on Facebook there's a lot of online tutors.
Yeah,
but like, as in, I mean I know there's like online lessons as such, because on myself I'm doing one through a university myself, and I understand that there's there, but I didn't realise how big it was, and maybe that's my own idea, naivety, but really interested to speak to you. And obviously I know that there'd be lots of teachers that would probably like, oh, wow, this sounds yeah. interesting. I mean, obviously, like you said, there are sort of drawbacks in the sense that in some places you have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning. So there's that drawback potentially. And obviously there's a lot that's relying on your own skill within the teaching, and not all students as well will want to teach or be taught online. Yeah. But I suppose equally there's lots of students in the classroom that don't want to be in the classroom. So I suppose it's the same sort of experience for both ends of the spectrum sort of thing. But yeah, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Am I allowed to ask you, where are you at the moment? Are you in the UK or?
I'm in London. I'm in grey London. So yeah,
I was about to say that earlier when you said you come back for British summertime. Like, you do realise that was it last week. That was 2 weeks.
I thought like come back for like the 2nd of May and like it will be perfect. And I came back and was like, I know everyone I've spoken to has like said that it's been a bad winter, but I really wasn't. I don't know, I just felt hopeful. But yeah, I'm kind of counting the days until the beginning of August when I'm going back. So.
Oh, yeah, that was our summer. That was our summer. I mean, we had 2 weeks of sun. The barbecues came out, and it's back to rain. So, yeah, enjoy the island in Brazil. And, you know, that sounds far more attractive than rainy England. But there we go. Thank you for your time. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye. Okay.
The Sociology Staff Room is brought to you by Tutor2U Sociology. Find us at tutor2u.net/sociology or follow us on Twitter at Tutor2USoc or Instagram at Tutor2USoc. You can also join our very lively Facebook groups for sociology teachers. See you soon.